السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ضرب الله مثلا قرية كانت آمنة مطمئنة يأتيها رزقها رغدا من كل مكان فكفرت بأنعم الله فأذاقها الله لباس الجوع والخوف بما كانوا يصنعون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الكيس من دان نفسه وعمل لما بعد الموت، والعاجز من أتبع نفسه هواها وتمنى على الله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Most honorable ulama ikram, beloved brothers and elders, all praises belong to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, our creator, our sustainer, our cherisher, our nourisher. Peace and salutations be upon our noble master, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. My beloved brothers, sometimes it's important for us to ask ourselves, to pose to ourselves the difficult questions. And probably one of the most difficult questions to pose to ourselves, and by no means do I take a high horse approach, but rather it is something that I have to ask myself and for all of us to ask ourselves as an ummah and as a community. Reality be told, what has changed? If we just quickly analyze our country, our situation in the last few years, maybe 10 years or so, we went through such challenges. We went through COVID, and then we went through the looting, and now the xenophobic attacks, whatever you want to call it, and whatever we're seeing. But the question needs to be asked to ourselves, that what has changed? If we take an analysis and we be true to ourselves and we ask ourselves the difficult question, that as an ummah, has anything really changed? Ulama tell us that to take a gauge of society, this we heard from senior ulama, to take a gauge of society and where society is, then on a general note, from an ibadat perspective, we take salah and we look at salah, and that gives us a guide, it gives us a yardstick as to where we are as an ummah. Now we can all ask ourselves, whichever masjid we may be frequenting, some of us may only be coming to this masjid for Jummah, we may be reading salah in other masajid. We can take stock and ask ourselves, has anything really changed? Has our salat of Fajr really increased? Has our different salah apart from Jummah, and that even Jummah also has become a problem in some areas. Be that as it may, the purpose of this question is that it has now become important and imperative for every one of us that we become very, very serious with our situation as an ummah, and that we take drastic steps to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The verse of Quran which we recited, let's listen to this verse and see how pure and true Quran is. Quran speaks to us as if though Quran was revealed today. This is the beauty of Kalamullah. This is the beauty of the speech of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Absolutely apt in every regard. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cites an example for us in Quran. You'll find in the Quran Sharif, many places Allah brings this word, daraba, daraba, wadrib lahum, wadrib lahum, wadrib lahum. Allah says, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُتْمَئِنَّةً يَأْتِهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِّن كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. Allah Ta'ala speaks of three beautiful favors that this town, city, whichever you want to take it as, was enjoying. Yes, the reason of revelation or the incident behind the revelation, Allah is speaking about Makkatul Mukarramah, but there's an important principle of tafsir, al-ibratu li'umumi al-alfad la bi-khususi al-mawarid, that the lesson to be taken from every verse of Quran will be general. Meaning that the lesson from the verse of Quran would not only be general, but it would always be there. And the lesson would always be there for us to take. So if we listen to the verse of Quran with a clear heart, and understand that this is a message from Allah to me, Allah is speaking to me directly, there is a connection between the believer and the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the book of Allah is so powerful. The book of Allah is so powerful that even the hardest of hearts, when the book of Quran was revealed and the book of Quran was recited to the hardest of hearts, those who said we won't want to even look at the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when they came into contact with Kalamullah, when they came into contact with the Quran, when they heard the speech of Allah, even their hearts melted. So Allah gives us a beautiful example here. Allah Ta'ala tells us, ضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً. Allah speaks of a city, a town. Allah blessed them, they were enjoying three beautiful favors, amongst other favors as well. آمِنَةً مُتْمَئِنَّ. That it was, there was peace, there was no problems, there was no difficulties, life was carrying on very, very nicely. Everything was going very, very smooth. This is why I say we can draw parallels and we can go back a bit in time and you can see there was a time like that. So there was no fear, there was no worry, there was no concern on a daily basis. People could trade as they wanted to trade, people could walk in the street as they wanted to walk, people could do as they wanted to do. That was the peace and tranquility that everybody was enjoying. Then Allah says there was mutma'inna as well. There was inner peace. And that is the greatest favor of Allah. That people have inner peace. There's no worry and fear. That inner fear that what's going to happen? What is going to be the situation? And the third favor Allah gave them was يَأْتِهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِّن كُلِّ مَكَانٍ. That the sustenance of theirs was flowing from every different corner. And risk is a very unique word. We define risk, or we think risk, to be only wealth. Risk is wealth, but not only wealth. Health, wealth, well-being, all of these falls under the ambit of risk. So Allah says this risk was coming to them. But this is the important lesson for us to take from Quran. And the purpose of the Jummah talk is that we listen and we all make an effort to change something. Allah said, فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ. They were enjoying all these beautiful bounties. There was peace, there was tranquility, there was inner peace, sustenance was coming. But they became ungrateful towards the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on account of this ungratefulness, Allah said, what was the result? فَأَذَاقَهَ اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ. Allah said, on account of this ingratitude, we made them wear the clothing of hunger and the clothing of fear. Meaning that once upon a time, and why the example of clothing? Ulama Ikram explained one of the reasons is the closest thing to a person is his own clothing. So this is how fearful they have become. This is the poverty that they are starting to go through and experience. That is not something that's far-fetched. It's something that everybody can relate to. But the important part of this verse is Allah says, بِمَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ, on account of the actions. So the important thing is this, that collectively as a community, we have to take stock and we have to ask ourselves that what were we enjoying? What was it, those beautiful amenities of Allah that was coming to us? And what did we do? Where did we go wrong? That now we find ourselves in a situation that there's fear, there is worry, there is concern, there is hunger. There's all these different types of challenges. Khair. But the beauty of our deen is this, that a believer is proactive in every regard. A believer sees a problem, and then a believer reacts and acts very, very quickly on it. So that's the first aspect. That Allah gave us everything, and we started to show our ingratitude to the favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala says, when this starts to happen, then this would be the result of it, that fear would come and whatever. This is Quran speaking to us, and we have to take lesson from Quran. The other example, there's many wadribs Allah Ta'ala gives us in Quran, but we're just speaking about two or three qualities. If we don't rectify very, very quickly, then the situation is going to go completely out of hand in every regard. The other situation Allah Ta'ala speaks about is the quality, or rather, the situation where people start to become arrogant. So every Friday, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam advised us, he said, recite Suratul Kahf. And one is we recite Suratul Kahf, very, very important, it's a protection. But if you take time to understand the message in Suratul Kahf, there's many, many lessons. There's one incident Allah Ta'ala speaks about, a conversation that two people start to have. Wadrib lahum, again wadrib comes. مثل الرجلين جعلنا لأحدهما جنتين من أعناب وحففناهما بنخل وجعلنا بينهما زرعا. Allah Ta'ala speaks about these two people, and Allah says, one of them, we gave him such a beautiful orchard. In the Quran, Allah Ta'ala starts to describe the orchard, the trees and the stream. And not only did he have grapes, but he had other types of fruit and other types of vegetation. And then when he gets talking to his neighbor or his friend, he tells him in a very arrogant manner that, look, me, I'm in a better position than you. أَنَا أَكْثَرُ مِنْكَ مَالًا وَوَلَدًا. Me, I got more money than you. I got more children than you. So I'm not going to go into the whole incident, because I just want to make a subtle point and then move on from there. But in his discussion, he gets very, very arrogant in his discussion. And ulama tell us this arrogance is such a quality. If it's not quelled, if a person doesn't look after it, when it does come and burn it and scratch it out and get rid of it immediately, it only grows. And as it grows even bigger. So initially his arrogance started off by saying, he's better than this man, he's better than the person. Why? I got more money than you, I got more children than you, I got a better farm than you, I got everything that's better. So he started basing what makes a person better on account of wealth, on account of children, on account of these type of things. So this person warned him, he said, listen, rather don't take that approach. Don't speak like that. If you see and you think and you feel you're better than me on account of all of this, then rather take the approach of that, MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. That attribute what you have rather to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But his arrogance got the better of him to such an extent that he didn't even listen or hear what this person was saying to him. And the beautiful lesson that this person was giving him, now what does he do? He even negates Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When tells him, listen, أَكَفَرْتَ بِالَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ مِنْ تُرَابِ. Are you now even going against Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Are you now just even disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And the result of his arrogance was that Allah ta'ala destroyed whatever he had. So ulama tell us that ingratitude, arrogance, these are qualities which earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are qualities which earn destruction. And it puts a person and it puts a community into self-destruction. Now these are the problems we've identified. But what is the solution? The solution is that we have to bring ourselves, all of us, into the correct environments. When a person comes into the correct environment, when he surrounds himself with people who will guide him, when he surrounds himself with a'mal and actions that will take him closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you find that the results are phenomenal. And again, we go to Quran and Sunnah and understand that the lessons that Quran and Sunnah has given us, you'll find no better lessons. Because these are lessons by Allah and lessons by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for us and our makeup and our mindset and our condition, if we condition ourselves, see, one of the great giants of the ummah, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wa arda, a giant, a person whose knowledge was praised by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He made a statement and he said, "Man kana mustannan falyastanna biman qad mat fa innal hayla tu'manu alayhi alfitan." What an amazing statement he made. He said, if ever you were to mold your life on the way of any person, then mold your life on the way of those who have passed away, not on the way of those who are living. Why? فَإِنَّ الْحَيْ لَا تُؤْمَنُ عَلَيْهِ الْفِتَنِ. Those who are living, they got no guarantee that they won't be put through any trials, any tests, any tribulations. But those that have passed away, they've passed the test already. And then he quantifies his statement by saying, actually, I'm speaking about the companions of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because Allah had blessed them, أَبَرَّهَا قُلُوبًا وَعَمَقَهَا عِلْمًا وَأَقَلَّهَا تَكَلُّفًا. Allah made them such that they were oceans of knowledge. Their knowledge was very, very deep. They were people, they never lived with formalities. What you saw was what you got. Meaning they were true people. They were very, very sincere in their hearts. They were not smiling on your face and do something else behind your back and say something here and do something. No, no, they were true. Proven fact. Who you saw, what you seen is what you got. Their hearts were pure, their hearts were clean. So he said, mold your life on them. So there's an example in the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by which we can take. And as I said, the solution, or one of the many solutions, is that we put ourselves in the correct environment. Because environment plays a vital role on our thinking, plays a vital role on our actions. Alhamdulillah, we know that Ijtima will be taking place 8th, 9th and 10th of August in our town in Pietermaritzburg. And we request all the brothers to attend. But we are just seeing now that the work has just started and the site is moving, different types of people that come to work and assist and do whatever they can, just to be in that environment. Sometimes some talim is taking place, sometimes salah with jamaat is taking place, some different amal, surah yasin, and people come and they just sit for a few minutes and they will tell you that this environment has caught me, I'm moved by the environment. In the 6th year or the 5th year of the Hijrah, whatever it was, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent out some epistles, sent out some letters to the different kings. So amongst the kings that received these letters was a king from the Banu Hanif tribe, very, very big tribe. And his name was Thumama bin Uthal. You heard this hadith many times, famous hadith, but the lesson that we take will never change. So when he received the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he became very angry, he became very upset. And he said, listen, I'm going to assassinate Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm going to assassinate him. How dare he send me a letter inviting me towards the oneness of Allah? His life will come out on my hands. So nevertheless, some time passed, he forgot about his promise. Somebody reminded him, they said, hey, you know, you made this promise, when are you going to act on this promise? So he said, listen, I'm going to go to Makkah, but en route, I'll try to pass Medina, whatever it is, and I will find Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and I will assassinate him. However, before he did that, there was a group of Sahaba that were traveling. He got hold of them and he assassinated some of the Sahaba ikram. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed the judgment that this man is wajibul qatal. If you see him, you must assassinate him. If you see him, you must kill him. He must be killed because of the heinous crime that he committed. Nevertheless, it's a lengthy incident, but just to take you through it very quickly and to highlight the point that we want to highlight. Sahaba Ikram, they managed to catch him, they caught him, they got hold of him. They found him on the outskirts of Medina. And they bring him to Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When they bring him to Masjid al-Nabawi, they tie him to a pillar in Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then they inform Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that, O Nabi of Allah, we have got a captive. Come and see who's this captive. Come and see what's the situation. Guide us. So Rasulullah comes, he sees, and he says, you people have done a very good act. Do you know who you'll have caught? Do you know who is this person? And then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explains to them. that this is Thumama bin Uthal. He's from the Banu Hanif tribe and he has a very, very big following. His tribe is a very, very big tribe, a very massive tribe. Nevertheless, Nabi Sallam says, tie him to the pillar. And then Nabi Sallam has a discussion with him. Rasulullah Sallam invites him, tells him, okay, Thumama, you've come, you've seen. How are we going to resolve the situation? So very arrogantly at the time, he says to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, listen, in taqtul, taqtul za damin, wa in tun'im, tun'im ala shakir. If you're going to kill me, then get the job over and done. Do what you have to do. But remember one thing, my blood is not cheap. Za damin. My blood is expensive. Obviously, I mean, he was a leader, he was a king. What that means is, in explanatory of how they would talk in those days and whatever it would mean was, that I'm a type of person, if you kill me, then you'll pay dearly for my life. Because people and my tribe, they won't let it be. They will come and they will avenge my life. So in taqtul, taqtul zadamin. You're going to kill me, but remember, I'm a man of standing. Wa in tun'im, tun'im ala shakir. But if you forgive me and you overlook and you forget whatever happened, then we are very wealthy and we would pay you back very, very handsomely. We would appreciate very nicely the gesture of forgiving. Nabi Sallam said, leave him. And then Nabi Sallam tells the Sahaba, I have a she camel, milk my camel. Give him milk to drink from my camel. And as long as he'll be here in the masjid, he'll be my guest, his meals will come from my home. Brothers, this is akhlaqun nubuwa. This is the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is why for us to look anywhere else is an insult. As an ummah, we have the highest example in every regard. Allah said to us, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. That you have in my beloved Nabi the most beautiful of examples. That even the enemy, the man who set out to murder and assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is treated in the most kindest of ways in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Second day, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes, speaks to him, and the same conversation ensues. In taqtul, taqtul za damin, wa in tun'im, tun'im ala shakir. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, never mind, feed him, continue. The third day, the same thing happens. 3 days. And again, the same conversation. That, Thumama, have you made a decision? Which way are we going to go? Have you decided anything? Because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as the ulama ikram explained this, he's aware that Thumama is in the masjid, he's tied to a pillar in Masjidun Nabawi, and obviously whilst he's there, he's observing the blessed masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know what was the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was talim, there was khidmat, there was people learning and teaching. Somewhere somebody was being served, somebody was being assisted. People would be coming in to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he can see this environment. People are performing salah, people are doing whatever they can do to help and assist one another. So he's observing all of this. On the third day, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked him, he said, listen, Thumama, what's the situation? What's the story? And he gives the same response and the same reply. In taqtul, taqtul za damin, wa in tun'im, tun'im ala shakir. If you're going to kill me, do the job, get over with it, but remember my blood is not cheap. But if you choose to forgive and overlook, then we will reward you handsomely. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to the Sahaba, untie him, bring his conveyance, give him his belongings, set him free and let him go. Sahaba ikram are shocked. This was the man, he killed Sahaba. This was a man who came with the sole intention to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They bring his conveyance, they give him his goods, he gets on his conveyance and he leaves. So, he comes to a place not far, just out of Medina, just near the masjid. He takes ghusl, he gets back on his conveyance and he comes to the masjid. He enters Masjidun Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he addresses Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want to tell you that prior to me being held captive in your masjid, the face that I hated the most was your face. But today the face that I love the most is your face. He said, the city that I hated the most was your city, and today the city that I love the most is your city. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأشهد أنك رسول الله. I bear testimony. I testify without a shadow of doubt that there is none worthy of worship besides Allah, and that you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, most certainly is the Nabi of Allah. And he takes the shahada, being held captive in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being exposed to the a'mal and the actions and the beautiful way of sahaba and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being exposed to the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man who was a leader of his tribe, a man who had the intention to assassinate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but when he came into that environment, even his heart melted. And then he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that I came here and I had an intention to go to Makkah Mukarramah, actually to perform the Hajj, or to perform Umrah, or to make ziyarat of the Baytullah, obviously in the way that it was done prior to Islam. Rasulullah ﷺ taught him how to make Umrah, and Nabi ﷺ told him that now when you go, you will perform Umrah in this particular manner. And the Mu'arrikhun, the historians, have recorded that when he went to Makkatul Mukarramah to perform the Umrah, he's the first person in the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam who enters Makkatul Mukarramah saying the Talbiyah, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Labbaik la sharika laka Labbaik, Innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk la sharika lak. We won't understand this. Probably it won't mean too much to us. But if you understand the environment of Makkah at the time, this was Makkah where idol worship was predominant. This was Makkah where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba were being persecuted. This was Makkah where when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was saying, قُولُوا لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ تُفْلِحُ, say لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ, you will be successful. What the narration says, فَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ تَفَلَ فِي وَجْهِهِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ حَثَ التُّرَابِ وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ سَبَّهُ. There were those that were spitting at the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were those that were stoning the blessed Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There were those that were swearing Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now a man comes and he proclaims the talbiyah. He's saying that immediately people want to harm him, people want to attack him. And the people said to him, no, don't attack this man, this is so and so, he's a leader. Nevertheless, the point is, my beloved brothers, and this is the lesson for us to take, that it is so important for us to put ourselves, our family, every one of us, our communities in the correct environment, in the environment of Allah and Allah's Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the environment of dawah, talim, ibadat, khidmat. When an environment will come alive with the a'mal of nubuwa, then we'll find that we will draw the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every regard. So we know in this light, as I had mentioned, Ijtimaa is taking place in 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time, inshallah, 8th, 9th and 10th of August. We have come to Durban, the various ulama have come to Durban from Pietermaritzburg to personally invite the people of Durban to please attend the Ijtimaa. Not only attend, but invite one and all. We don't know who will come into contact with these a'mal, whose life will change, who would come, and Allah Ta'ala will make them a means of deen coming alive in the various areas. Allah will make them a means. You may innocently just meet somebody and tell me, brother, Ijtimaa is happening, you're going. That man comes, his whole life changes, your whole akhirat is made. And very, very importantly, we humbly request everybody to make special dua that Allah Ta'ala make it a means of deen coming alive. See, we speak of the success of the Ijtimaa. What is the success of the Ijtimaa? Is that deen comes alive. Every one of us become closer to Allah. Every one of us become anointed with the akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Every one of us become better Muslims. Every one of us become shining examples. Every one of us become walking embodiments of what Islam is all about. Walking embodiments of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That our akhlaq, the way we speak, the way we deal, the way we talk, our business dealings, our mu'amalat, our mu'asharat, everything comes on the way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is a recipe. This is a recipe for success for every person. I'll end on this beautiful incident in the life of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the beautiful advice that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him, because this is advice for every one of us. Mu'adh ibn Jabal was that man. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, Ya Mu'adh, the riwayat of Abu Dawud, Inni uhibbuk. O Mu'adh, indeed I love you. Can you imagine to hear those words from the blessed tongue of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What will it do to the heart of a man? Imagine you are Mu'adh and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says these words to you. Everyone's heart will burst. Everyone's heart will... Imagine that you are the man that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loves. Every one of us love Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And it's our hope. It is our hope that on the day of Qiyamah, when we meet Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Ameen, we will be from those that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam loves as well. But here's Mu'adh ibn Jabal who got the stamp whilst he was living. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sends him to Yemen as an ambassador. And as he's walking him out of Medina, Munawwara, brothers, we heard this incident many times. You heard this incident many, many times. Allah make the reality in our hearts. As Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is walking him out of Medina, Munawwara, and he's advising him, then he says to him that, Mu'adh, it's possible when you come back to Medina, Munawwara, you will not see me, but you will have to visit me at my blessed grave. What the riwayat says, فَجَشَّهُ الْبُكَى. He burst out into tears. He burst out crying. Who won't cry? Knowing that every word, every single word that emanated from the blessed mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was haq, without a shadow of doubt. No lie ever emanated from the mouth of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Mu'adh ibn Jabal knew this was the last time that these ears of mine will hear the blessed voice of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the last time that these eyes of mine will see the blessed face of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is the last time that my hand would touch the blessed hand of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The narration says when Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw Mu'adh crying, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam started to cry, and out of that pain he turned his face, because he couldn't bear to see the pain in the face of Mu'adh ibn Jabal. And then he said these words of comfort, which was not only words of comfort to Mu'adh ibn Jabal, but it is words of comfort to you and I. Words and comfort, words of comfort to every ummati of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said to him, Ya Mu'adh, O Mu'adh, Inna awlan nasi bi al-muttaqoon man kanu wa haythu kanu. Allahu Akbar. Sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He said that, O Mu'adh, the closest people to me, Inna awlan nasi bi, the closest people to me are the muttaqoon, those who fear Allah, those who obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man kanu wa haythu kanu, whoever they are and wherever they are. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.